Here's a power list for you. Motorola, IBM, Samsung, Nokia, the Department of Justice, Amazon, Microsoft, the Beatles, Carl Sagan, the European Union, Kodak, AT&T, Cisco Systems, Hewlett-Packard, and the City of New York. They've all sued or been sued by Apple. They all have to stand in line behind 25-year-old pop star Taylor Swift for demonstrating more clout with Apple than all of the above in just a few hours this week. With a single blog and a single threat to keep her new music off of the new Apple streaming service if Apple doesn't pay artists during its trial subscription period, she made Apple back down by posting this open letter to Tumblr titled, "To Apple, Love Taylor." She writes, "We don't ask you for free iPhones. Please don't ask us to provide you with our music for no compensation." Kind of like, what would you rather listen to? Taylor? So take a look what you've done. Or Tim Cook of Apple?
Today we're announcing Apple Music, the next chapter in music, and I know you are going to love it.
Kind of a no-brainer, although the director of this program would say neither. He tries to make this a Taylor-free zone. But this is the 21st century, where we can watch a almost billionaire with a billionaire of pop culture battling it out. And other billionaires and would-be billionaires are on the sidelines, watching how this turns out. A generation after Napster, this is yet another battle between technology, musicians, and consumers who want what they want. Jeff Price is CEO of Audium, a music licensing company that focuses specifically on streaming services. It's a whole new world, he says.
Taylor Swift was able to bring into the forefront a inside baseball issue that was happening. It's been happening for over 10 years, actually, the free trial subscriptions. The digital streaming services that are coming up, Rhapsody is an example, Spotify is another, and the forthcoming Apple Music service, they're all trying to figure out what the right model is. But more importantly, these are technology companies using music in order to make money, and they can lose money on the music in order for them to make money. For example, Spotify is worth over $8 billion.
Right.
That's with a B. They've raised about $1 billion in private equity and venture capital, but they lose money on music every single day. For them, it's about a return on investment, right? So what they're doing is they're putting together a model where they can get market share. And along the way, they're just throwing together a business model. And the business models they're throwing together appear at the moment to be working to their advantage, but simultaneously not to the advantage of the artist or musician, label, or copyright holder. The Apple transition is extremely important because what they have on file is over 800 million credit cards from people around the world. They've got basically every piece of recorded music in existence on their servers. So frankly, at the click of a button, it is possible for Apple to migrate the entire population of music listeners from downloads into streams. And with that comes a significant seismic change. The question is, will the financial model work? Up to this point in time, the major record labels have done deals with the Rhapsodies and Spotifys where they said, go ahead and do these trial subscriptions where people can try your product, not pay you. And when that music streams, you don't have to pay us. We're going to make it free. We're going to pick up your cost of customer acquisition, which is insane as far as I'm concerned. So Apple was merely doing what everyone else had done before. But there was a bit of a problem because of its size, because of its impact, because Apple is also simultaneously the place where people go to buy download music. If everyone's flipped from downloads to streams that quickly, it would cannibalize the income for everybody. Look at it this way.
But wait, hold on one second, though. The one thing that is bizarre to me is this was the generation, the Taylor Swift generation, post-Napster, that was supposed to get music for free. This was supposed to be the generation that never would pay for a download. And not only are they paying for downloads, but slowly they're becoming subscribers to these streaming services, and we're gradually evolving back to a kind of radio model.
We are. And what has to happen, in my opinion, is consumers need to pay for music but not feel like they're paying for music. People today have moved into a model where they can get all music whenever they want, what feels like for free. YouTube's a perfect example, right? YouTube with your eyes closed is Spotify, basically.
Right.
So if you're dealing with what do consumers want and how do we give it to them while simultaneously trying to create an economic model that works for both the music service and the copyright holders. And finding that right blend is going to be difficult. But when we do, when we create something of excellence, everybody wins. One of the ways I think you're able to do that is instead of positioning things as, hey, pay $10 a month for access to 31 million songs, of which 99% you'll never listen to, through these on-demand streams that you can do on your smartphones, turn it into a lifestyle product. Hey, for $10, $15 a month, you can have curated playlists where you tell us you're doing a barbecue, we'll give you 12 songs you can play.
Which is exactly the way my 16-year-olds
do it.
They love that. And they absolutely love it. Yeah. And of course, I'm paying for it, but eventually they would pay for this kind of thing. And the thing that's mind-boggling to me is that in the old days, radio had the power. Radio said, we don't play your records, you got nothing. Taylor Swift has suddenly inverted this gigantic pyramid and said, we're not on your streaming service, my band, my record, you're dead. And that's a huge inversion, it seems to me.
It is. Well, a couple things. This sort of issue of these free trial subscriptions, this has been going on for 10 years. It's just no one's talked about it. What Taylor Swift was able to do based on her popularity is bring a inside baseball topic into the public foray. Had Apple launched its service in 9 to 8 days now, I think, and said from the inception, we're going to pay for free trial subscriptions, everyone would have applauded and said, that's great, but that would have come and gone very quickly. Because this went down the way it did, and nobody scripted it, it just worked out this way, what we have is Apple getting a second wave of publicity that they never anticipated. Simultaneously, it makes it look like they have a soul, right? There's a human being that responded to an outcry from an artist.
Aww.
Yeah, right? Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you're right. So now they look like the good guy. And you know what? They kind of are in this case. I think they just screwed up. And as a man that ran a record label myself, I'll tell you, if I had to go 90 days without being able to sell the thing that I sell and still had to stay in business, I would have gone out of business. I don't think they thought about that.
It's a chaotic, huge, converging mess out there anyway, which is exactly where you have the most fun, right?
Yeah, well, it actually is a lot of fun. I mean, what's weird is there's never been more money being generated off of music than there is today, but less of it is getting into the pockets of the rights holders and the artists. And that's what we need to fix, and we need to fix it now, particularly when Apple is possibly going to change the entire global music listening market. We need that right financial model.
Jeff Price is CEO of Audium, a music licensing company that focuses specifically on streaming services, like the ones we were just talking about. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
So what do you think? Does Taylor's victory over Apple make Ms. Swift the queen of the music industry? Does anyone even pay for music anymore? Suzette writes on Facebook, I do stream KCSM 91.9, and I'm a sustaining member, but otherwise I still buy CDs and vinyl. Shavat from Austin, Texas writes, we all pay for the music we listen to. If we buy albums, CDs, downloads, attend live music, or if we listen to commercial radio, we pay with having to sit through commercials, of which many products advertised are purchased by us or by others. Yeah, we get the advertising model. The issue is not do we pay for the music we listen to. The issue is Apple's sense of entitlement. Apple makes great products, and they have proved that they are narcissistic when they think of others' rights to set their own fee and expect to get it. So smart of Apple to sing Ms. Swift's song after she had to teach them the tune. Nice. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number. You can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.